thinking about this new year, and as we launch out into it, and trusting God for the future, we came through a week of prayer this past week. The emphasis was on prayer. We encouraged everybody to be praying for our church and for the various needs, and you had a little prayer guide that was in the bulletin last week. If you didn't get one, it was a little prayer guide during the week. You could pray for various things. I thought it'd be good for us this morning to take a look at one of the main reasons why God has placed us here, each one of us, where we are, and why He's called us out of the world, brought us into His kingdom, and something to, again, to encourage us as we face the future. I'm going to point your attention to a passage. You're going to find this is a, there are other parallel passages in the Gospels, but I've chosen the passage from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at the first 20 verses there we're going to look at. I'm not going to do an exegesis of it, so don't worry. We're not going to be here till 4:30 or 5 this afternoon going through. But this is the passage we're going to look at, all right? Just so you know the setting. And it's something that I think is important for all of us because it really has to do with your identity in Christ, who you are in the Lord. One of the things I think is so important for Christians is that we, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves and whatever we're doing and whatever endeavors we have, is to remember who we are. You know, sometimes as Christians we forget who we are, who we're representing. And it's crucial that as ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of the Lord, think of it that way. You're representing the Lord in this world. And the fact is, you're going to rub shoulders with people throughout the week, and most of them are not going to represent the Lord. They're not out there representing the Lord. In fact, they're representing themselves or maybe someone else or something else. But think of it. You're really representing Christ. Every waking day of your life, every time you leave your home and you go out into the marketplace, you go out in wherever, to the job or wherever, you really are a representative of Jesus Christ. And it's real important that we keep that in focus. Now, there are times in our lives when we come across individuals, they make commitments to the Lord, and then things happen in their life, and you wonder where they are, what happened to them, and what's going on. Well, this passage describes what happens in the life of a person who receives the Word of God. And it gives us different scenarios, different situations. I know that over the course of time, there are individuals I've known, and they became a Christian, at least I thought they became a Christian, and then I wondered about them, and they're no longer serving Christ for one reason or another. You say, how can that happen? Some say, well, they never really were born again, you know, and they get into a theological discussion. Well, I'm not so sure that's the case, because I've seen the fruit of people's lives, and I wonder about that, and the Bible has clearly shown us what happens oftentimes when the word goes forth. We find it here in Mark's Gospel. I want to read a few verses here. Let's take a look at this because I want us to concentrate this year on being all that God wants us to be. You know, you can be all you want to be, and it's not in the armed forces. It's in the service of the Lord. God wants you to bless. He wants to bless you. He wants you to experience joy. He wants you to have a positive outlook in life and look forward to the future. Do you know there are a lot of people who go to bed at night and they dread waking up in the morning because of what they're facing day after day? They have no hope and they have despair in their lives. But we're not like that. I want you every day of your life, when you go to bed at night, I want you to be just, you just can't wait to get up in the morning and go at it again because it's such a joy to serve Christ. And that's the way it ought to be, right? It ought to be that way. Serving God's not drudgery. It's a life filled with joy. Let's take a look at some of the things that can become impediments and things that happen in people's lives. And there are some people that perhaps aren't here today that at one time were fellowshipping with us and they've gone back into the world. And we need to pray for them. Let's see what God's Word says about this, okay? It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. It says, beginning with the first verse, "He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea, and he sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, 'Listen to this, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it up. We're going to talk about sowing and reaping today. Sowing and reaping. God has called us to a life of service. We have a job to do. We are admonished in the Word to work, for the night is coming when no one can work. Let's talk about sowing and reaping for a moment and see how that applies to our lives. And as I've read for you, you realize that there are times when you're going to share the Word. You're going to evangelize, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Has that ever happened to you? We say, well, the Word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I shared the Word. Guess what? Nothing happened. You might get a little discouraged over that. Let's read on and see what it says, because there's an answer for us in God's Word today. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Wow. The lack of roots leads to destruction. That's what we learn from this. The lack of roots leads to destruction. Let's read on. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. I'm going to ask the question here, what are the thorns of life that threaten you? Well, we'll come back to that. Let's read on and see what Christ says. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, you see, here's my little parentheses here. They were wondering, why are you talking this way? Why are you using stories? What do you mean by using stories? You're talking to the people. It's not real clear to us what you're saying. Why are you doing it? And now Jesus has an answer for them, and he says, to you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, they get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. In other words, it's going to be a mystery. They're hearing something. They're hearing a story, but they really haven't figured it all out. They're really not plugged into the power of the kingdom. They don't have that understanding. If they were, they would turn their lives around. They'd repent. But they have this story that I'm giving them. The truth is there. It's there. It's just hidden to them because they don't have the understanding that you have. You're going to begin to understand what Jesus is getting to here. It really explains a lot of what you and I face every day of our lives as his representatives in the world. Well, let's move on a little bit. In verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? And then he explains this one to them. The sower sows the word. That's what the seed is. It's the word of God. He goes out and he sows. He plants. And by the way, I want you to understand that he's speaking of what our responsibility is as Christians, because he's looking for workers, yes, to go in to bring in the harvest, but you know, he has to have workers that go out and sow. You don't have a harvest unless somebody goes out and sows. You're not going to have a crop unless somebody out there did the work of breaking up the ground and then planting the seed into the ground and then nurturing it until it gets to the point where it can be harvested. He's looking for workers, and he's looking for people who'll do that. He's talking about you and me as we take the Word of God to the world. The sower sows the Word. And then he goes on to say, these are the ones who are beside the road. Now he's explaining the parable to them. The seed that fell by the side of the road where the word is sown, when they hear it immediately, he says, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Ah, that's what happens. When I'm out sharing my faith. And pardon me, I'm out spreading the word of God, and I'm sharing things about the kingdom of God with people, then nothing happens. I've had that happen in my experience. Have you? I'm sure you have. You share the word of God and nothing. What happens? Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that Satan is active in the earth. Now, there are some people who don't believe in Satan. They just think that he just represents evil, kind of generally. They don't believe that he is a personality, that there's it's a definite being, Satan. It's just a representative of evil. What the Bible tells us is Satan has personality. He is a definite entity that exists and in this earth, and that he is purposefully trying to frustrate the plans of the kingdom. And so there are times when you are doing something that is right, it's righteous, and there are going to be some times where you just don't see anything happen, at least not right away. Jesus is saying here, the seed falls on the ground, and then it's snatched away. Satan comes along. Maybe it's because he's threatened by what he sees. Wouldn't that be nice if you became a threat to Satan? You know, there are indications that there are certain people in the kingdom of God that when they're around, the demons will shudder and Satan gets anxious because these people are used mightily of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to terrify Satan and his demons instead of the other way around, you being terrified by them? Wouldn't you like to have power in your life so that when you share the word of God, Satan may come around, but he couldn't frustrate what's happening because of the power of the Lord that's in your life? There are just some times when we're ministering for the Lord, doing what we think is right, and we don't see the effects. Satan has done his work, and he snatches away. And that word that has fallen on ears that need to hear doesn't germinate and take root. He goes on to explain the other soil here. He says, in a similar way, these are the ones whom seed was sown on rocky places. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, it's because of the word, immediately they fall away. I don't fully understand why this is, but I've lived long enough to see this. That suffering for Christ does become a reality for some believers. They suffer for Christ when they're doing things that are good and righteous. Oftentimes, those of us who are standing on the sidelines and we witness this, we say, how could that be? How could God allow this? That's our reaction. That's a human reaction. We say, God, this person is serving you and faithfully. How could you allow this to happen? And we don't understand what's going on spiritually, and we don't see it the way God sees it. There are some times when people suffer because of their commitment to Christ. The question is, how are they going to react at that time? There are some, Jesus says, the soil is, it's like the seed was sown on rocky places. They hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no firm root in themselves. I think something has to be said about having roots that are healthy and roots that run deep. I know from time to time you may have experienced this if you've ever done any kind of gardening or going out and trying to take care of your property and trees that are there. There are some trees I've had to get rid of and they come up quite easily, but there are others that you wonder, dear Lord, am I ever going to get rid of this thing? You're ready to get out the dynamite and blast it out of there, you know? And I, as you dig down, and I've done this with my son. We removed a tree this past year, and he was helping me. And finally, I had to take a chain and wrap it around the roots that I could see and attach it to my 4x4, and that's how I finally got it out. I hauled it out, and when I saw the root structure was almost as large as what I was seeing above ground. And it drives home the point that where there are roots that run deep, it's difficult to remove those things. Difficult to get rid of them. When the roots run deep, and when you come to the Lord and we provide all the ministries and when we, the opportunities you have to grow in the Lord, we don't want to just see the fluff and the stuff out there that's obvious. Sometimes it's nice. Oh, we look at people, what they do, say, isn't that nice? But you know, some of those very same people that seem to be doing great things for God, they sometimes fall by the wayside. And the reason is because their roots do not run deep in Christ. You need to make sure this year that, as far as you're concerned, that your roots run deep, that you're solid, that you know the Word, that you're faithful. I've said it many times, and it's so true. Oftentimes, what really matters in life is just being faithful to the commitment you make to Christ. You say, here I stand, I'm accepting Jesus. I'm gonna do whatever I can for Christ. And then come what may, you're not going to allow the cares of life and the reversals of life to move you. You are going to stand for Christ no matter what. It's nice to stand for Christ when there are others surrounding you and standing with you. The question is, will you stand for Christ when you look around and there's no one standing with you? That's when you know whether or not you have deep roots. That's when you know whether or not you've got something that's going to sustain you in times of difficulty. It's when you're faithful when all others have failed, when all others have gone their own way. They started out great, but they couldn't continue the race. They fell by the wayside. The cares that were brought to bear upon them because of opposition that they might have received by taking a stand. There are some folk today who are weighing whether or not they'll take a stand on some issues because of what might happen. The opposition that comes because of the gospel in their life. Some that don't want to suffer at all for Christ. It's okay as long as I don't suffer, as long as it's not painful. The ones whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, they receive it readily, but when the affliction, the persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Not a lot of longevity there. And it says, and the others are the ones, the other seed that fell on among the thorns. These are ones who have heard the word. But then something else. It's not just the suffering, but it's the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, there are three specific things that are spelled out here, and I think they're warnings. It's like a red flag goes up for the Christian. You're living your life for God. You want to do what's right. I believe everybody here this morning, you really want to serve God. I believe that's why you're here. I don't think you'd be here unless you really want to serve the Lord. I believe everyone here this morning in this place want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. Hell is a very real place. And we don't even begin to have an understanding of what it's really going to be like. It is so terrifying and horrible. The best picture coming out of Hollywood could not picture hell the way it actually is. The terror of hell and the reality of it goes beyond anything Hollywood can conjure up and come up with. So it's a very real thing that we all face. I don't think anybody here this morning wants to be in hell for eternity. I believe you're here because you really have concern for your soul. So we're giving you some advice to help you to maintain your walk with Christ, because you must maintain that walk and you must be faithful. You cannot play fast and loose with God. You can't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. You can try to do that, but you're either in or out. There's no halfway or midway place. I fear for people who, when you ask them, well, do you know you're going to be in heaven? You say, well, I hope so. Well, that tells me right away they're probably not going to be there. You're either in or out. And you either have that assurance of salvation or you don't have that assurance of salvation. If there are any doubts in your mind, you better settle it now while you have the time. Because death will come to your house one day. It'll knock on your door. And it'll be awaiting you. And then time for you will end as far as the opportunity to serve the Lord. So for those individuals who really are concerned about where they are in Christ, really are concerned about the future, we ought to take heed to what it says. The three areas, it says, the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, the thorny ground. These are the ones who have heard the word. You've heard the word. But it says that the worries of the world, the worries of the world. There are some people who become so fretful of what's going on in the world, so preoccupied with this present world, they get their eyes off the heavenly world. The earthly realm becomes their main concern, not the heavenly realm. And the Bible tells us we ought to be aware of what's going on around us. We ought to handle things the way we should here in the present realm. But we ought to understand also that we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. For our citizenship is where? In heaven. Our citizenship is not here. So whatever happens here, it is a concern to us. But it doesn't have an ultimate effect on us as with respect to the destiny of our soul. Our citizenship is sealed in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. But it says there are some, when they accept the Lord and they want to follow him, they become so concerned about, what about this, what about that? And they get discouraged and they get their eyes off of the heavenly kingdom. And what happens? Well, same thing happens. It happens with others. All of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. All of a sudden, they're not participating in the kingdom of Christ as he wants. So the worries of the world is one thing. The other thing that's listed here is the deceitfulness of riches. And we've mentioned this before. I know that there are some who may want to play the rich against the poor and all that, and I'm not into that. And I think, listen, the Bible says we ought to be content with wherever we are. If God blesses you financially and materially, that's great. I say, praise the Lord, because you can, if you're mindful of where your citizenship is, you can bless the kingdom of God. God's blessing you so that you can be a blessing. That's what it's for. That's why God blesses people. I believe, really, that's the main reason. That's probably the only reason why we have wealthy Christians. God is blessing them so that they can be a blessing to his kingdom and advance the cause of Christ. Because we live in a world, in an economy, that requires certain things. Some don't have, some can't make it, but there are others who can. And so God is blessing some people and helping to take up the slack where others would like to. One of the tragedies of the Christian that we see in the church in impoverished countries is this, or at least it's one of the concerns of people who come to Christ that are very poor. Oftentimes they have very little materially to give because they don't have anything. They're just trying to scrape together enough food for, for today's meal. That's it. And one of the concerns they say in the church is there are people in other countries that wish they had something to give because they want to give. They realize it's a principle in God's kingdom that God will bless the giver. Be a cheerful giver. God's going to bless you. You can be really cheerful when God blesses you, can't you, right? God loves a cheerful giver. They go together, cheerfulness and giving. You give and it's going to be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, running over. It's going to happen to you so that what? You can give again. That's the whole idea of cheerful giving. God blesses you so you can give. And as you give, God blesses you. You see, it's kind of a cycle. Well, he's blessed me. Well, I'm going to give. Well, if you give, you're not going to have. Oh, but God's going to bless you. Sure enough, he comes right back around. He blesses you again. It's that cycle. It's God's economy. God's economy is different from the world's economy. The world says, you take and you save for yourself. You keep it for yourself. You do that, and you're not going to experience the blessing of God the way he intended. If you learn to be a cheerful giver and say, you know, Lord, I love your kingdom, and even though financially it's a little tight or whatever, but, you know, I just feel you want me to do this, and I'm going to do this. Listen, it has proven itself in my own life time and time again. There are times when I stepped out in faith. There are times when I don't even know if I had any faith at all. I just did it because I thought I should. And then God just surprises you, and boom, he just starts blessing you. That's part of his economy. You need to learn the economy of heaven. It's different from the economy of this world. And see, some people, some Christians haven't figured that out. And I think there are some churches that are impoverished because a lot of the people in the church haven't figured out the economy of heaven. If they would figure that out, then they would be blessed, the church would be blessed, everybody would be blessed. See, that's what God wants. You're blessed so that you can be a giver. And as you give, you're blessed. It's a cycle that God has. Some people get so wrapped up in the things of the world. Listen, some of those people that are they're saving it for themselves, day's going to come when they're going to leave it all behind. Someone else is going to get it. Scripture says, invest in the kingdom of God. Because when you invest in God's kingdom, guess what? It's safe, it's secure, and it pays the best dividends that you'll get anywhere. Storing up treasure in heaven. That's what we ought to be doing. Think of it that way. Instead of thinking, Lord, if I do whatever, I'm going to get behind, or I'm not going to have enough. You know, I look at it this way. I say, Lord, you've promised to take care of me. If I will be content with where I am. And see, we have too many people. The world's telling you you ought to be somewhere else other than where you are. The world tells you that. You need to listen to the voice of God. Let God tell you where you ought to be. Because it might be vastly different than where you think the world's telling you that you ought to be. You know? I ought to be here now. I'm at this stage of my life. I ought to be here. I ought to be there. I ought to be there. Listen, you just be content with where you are and ask God where he wants you to be and then follow through. And you be obedient. Be obedient. That's the main thing. Be obedient. When God speaks to you, you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to be obedient. Plug yourself into God's economy, and it'll be the best thing he ever did. God will always take care of you. He'll never fail you. Never fail you. But unfortunately, there are some whose life is filled with thorns. They're the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. I don't want to spend too much time on that point, except to say that there have been several programs recently that have gone back analyzing some of these lottery winners and, you know, these people who hit it rich big. They follow their lives, and then they see where they are, like 3 years, 5 years down the road. And almost all that money's gone. Read just recently of a high-profile athlete who's living on welfare now, I think. But at the time, while his career was going, he made like $5 to $10 million. It's a big sum to me. Of course, that's not a lot to some people, but to me, it was a lot of money. And doesn't have a penny to show for it. And they went down and said bad investments. He got bad friends that he surrounded himself with. By the way, be careful of the friends that you're surrounded by. Be careful of the friends that you take into your confidence. You may think they're your friends, But again, remember, they're working on a worldly view. They're in the world. If they're not in Christ, if they don't really know the Lord, and some can be call themselves Christian and they're not really, you better be sure of the people that are closest to you when it comes to financial matters too. But they were going on, and this guy that owned all, that had all this wealth, everything was gone. Gone. Wiped out. And they say that's not uncommon. You think it's the answer, but it's not the answer. The answer has to do with your heart. Where is your heart? It's a heart problem. It's not a wealth problem. It's a heart problem. You have to have those deep roots that go down. Well, the cares of this world are one of the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And then the final thing it lists here under thorns, the thorns of life, is this: desires for other things. A restlessness. A discontent. It's one of the hardest things for some Christians to understand. You come to Christ, you need to learn to be content with where God has you. If I wanted to, I could spend all day just thinking of what I might be. Had I done this? Had I done that? Where would I be if I did this or that? I could have wishful thinking about all. If I wanted to, I could spend all my time just doing that. There are people that think that, oh, you got to have all your dreams. If you're not fulfilling all your dreams, you're a failure in life. And what a pity that is, you know. Life's so short. Listen, you need to get away from that kind of thing. You need to meditate on the things of God. You be where God wants you to be. You need to develop the attitude of Christ. God has something for you right now. Don't squander the opportunities that God has for you now. Wistfully thinking what might be or longing for other things. Take advantage of what God has for you. Listen, there are some things God is offering you now that aren't being offered to others and may never be offered to you again. It's right now. Take advantage of what God is doing in your life now. There's no guarantees it's going to be there tomorrow or the next day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to work in the vineyard. Now is the day to live for Christ. Live in the now. Forget the desires for other things. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, they enter in and they choke the word. Think of it. You don't understand the power of these things. The word of God is powerful, but notice what it says. It chokes the word. The powerful word of God. It chokes it. All of these things choke the word. That's what it says here. And it becomes unfruitful. Thank God he has an explanation of another type of ground. It says, but of this final soil, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I'm going to conclude this morning by asking you this question. Where do you find yourself in this parable? Because we're all in there somewhere. That's right. That's all the soil types he's got. I've got for you. I could probably make up a few. But that's all I've got for you from Mark this morning. It's all there. So guess what? You're there somewhere. Your life right now is there somewhere. Where are you? What type of soil is it? What are the conditions surrounding it? What's going on in your life? The seed of God's word has brought life to your soul. And now I ask, what has it accomplished? That's the question. It's begun a work in you. But the question for us this morning is, okay, it's begun, but what has it accomplished? Is there a harvest in your life that awaits you? Harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold? Does that await you because of what's going on now? In this year of 2013, is this going to be a year of harvest for you and the kingdom of Christ? Are things going to be happening that are going to go beyond your wildest imagination? You never thought God could use you this way. You never thought God would bless you this way. But it's all going to happen because of what's happening in your life, how you're handling it, what kind of soil your life has been, and what kind of soil is your life right now. How is the Word of God changing you? What kind of roots do you have in Christ? That's going to determine the fruitfulness of your life. That's going to determine whether or not this coming year is going to be a great year for you and for God and His working in your life. Where do I find myself? Where am I? I pray that you will find that your life is a life that will give evidence to fruitfulness 30, 60, 100-fold and beyond. Would you bow in prayer? You know, there are times in life when I feel, Lord, I've failed you and I've messed up. And God reminds me that He still loves me. Every time I turn to the Lord, He receives me, takes me back. And He lets me know that there's still some usefulness in my life. I can still do things that will glorify Him and bless Him. And you might have felt the same way. Lord, I've messed up. I missed the mark. I just want to encourage you today. A lot goes to your desire. What kind of a life do you want in Christ? Do you want to just kind of limp along, trying to keep one foot in and one foot out? Or do you want to really make your life count for something? Eternity awaits you as it awaits me. And the only thing that's going to matter is how I've represented the Lord. To what extent have I allowed His Word to change me? To what extent have I allowed Him to help me be a good representative for Him on this earth? That's all that's going to matter. And it will have nothing to do with where you live, what position in life you had, what kind of skills, how many people like you or don't like you. It has nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with the extent to which you've allowed God to change you, to mold you, to fill you with His presence, to deepen the roots of your life in His Word. What kind of faithfulness have you had with respect to the kingdom of God? What kind of obedience has there been in your life when He's spoken to you? All these are the things that matter. These are the only things that matter. In these closing moments, as they sing the chorus, I thought it'd be good to wind up this week of prayer just around the throne of God in a spiritual sense, honoring Him, worshiping Him, and taking a stand, saying, Lord, I am yours, and I'm going to be yours, and I'm going to do my best this year to represent you and to be faithful and do all those things that I ought to be doing as your representative. As they sing this chorus, if that's you today, then you just come and step. Let's just line across the front here and spend just the last few moments of this service in a prayer of commitment to the Lord, all right? As they sing, you come. without hesitation.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure that all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, you're guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Oh, take me and mold me. Use me, Lord, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Oh, call me and guide me. Lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
In our lives, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Oh God, we thank you for your mercy. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit. When you left us, O Lord, you said that you would not leave us comfortless. You would send the Comforter, and he has come. The one who has power and will empower us, and he has come. And Father, I pray for your people today to experience the might and the power of the Comforter this morning. Let your Holy Spirit fill the hearts of your people today. We launch out into this year. May we go realizing great blessing awaits us. Help your people to be faithful, Lord. Help their roots to run deep in you, O God, I pray. And don't allow the enemy of their souls to rob them from your blessings. O God, sustain and help and empower by your Holy Spirit. As we stand here as a sign of our commitment today, we pledge ourselves, Lord, to do our very best to be the kind of representatives you would have us be, those that you would look with favor upon, O God. And may we realize that we live not just for ourselves, but we live for the one who loves us and gave himself for us. Become, O Lord, the motivation for every one of us to lead lives that are clean and pure before you. Lives that will make a difference. Take us, Lord. Make us into what you would have us be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Use
thank you, Lord.
Lord, fill me.
Hallelujah.
I give
you bless your holy name.
To the
hallelujah. Let's sing the chorus again.
Oh, take
me
and mold,
me.
Use me, Lord, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, Lord, call me, and guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Thank you, Lord. I now bless your people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we all go from this place as your ambassadors. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget the announcements of the day. 6 o'clock tonight. Come, and I know God will bless. God bless you.